Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jaroslyn and Tanea.
And don't tell me what to say, and don't tell me what to do. So just let me be myself. That's all that I ask for you. You don't know me. Sorry, First Wives Club. Rest in peace, Diane Keaton.
Oh,
top five favorite women of all time. I watched that video again. I mean, that movie again this weekend.
Oh, true class act.
You ever just see somebody pass away and you just like, why you?
I saw a tweet that said Diane Keaton passing is just, you know, kind of the prerequisite for some of our favorite girls leaving us soon. And we are just not ready.
I'm not ready for her, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, like the good ones.
You're right.
You ain't never had to correct. But rest in peace, Diane Keaton. The other sister, like top 10 movies of all time.
Oh, yes. That was Juliette Lewis.
Yes. And Giovanni Ribisi. It's like my favorite.
Yes.
He's like, I know how to love, mom. Don't talk
Did she win an award for that movie?
No. No, but they were nominated, but they didn't win anything.
Goodness gracious. Well, listen here. Welcome back to We Watch Too Much TV, Season 6, Episode 4. It's your favorite best friends, Jaroslyn and Tanea. And as you can see, we are clearly enthralled with pop culture through television. And how you been with this throughout this past week?
You know what? Good. And it's a nor'easter storm in New York. So it's very cold. It's very rainy. My child has been wanting to go outside. My child is a puppy, but he doesn't do rain. So he hates being in the house. But every time I take him out in the rain, he's no. But winter's coming very quick. New York has that type of weather where they try to get you sick because it'll be 80 degrees and then 20 mm-hmm. degrees.
Yep. This is that get sick New York weather.
Ugh, Lord Jesus, how are you in this cold October time?
Yes, I mean, it's still, you know, it's not New York, but it's that getting that little fall chill here. And it just feels nice. Such a little cozy period. I'm one of those, like, I'm low-key a homebody at heart. So when it's this kind of weather, I just enjoy being home and watching television or reading. I was reading yesterday and taking a nap under a cozy blanket. I'm very, very immersed in my fall activities. I've been home this past week. No traveling. So the amount of television I've been watching is insane.
I've been doing my hair. So I've been watching TV as I do my hair.
So there was so much I could have. I had to dwindle it down. But yeah, very excited to be here. So without further ado, first, like and subscribe, rate and review, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. And without further ado, let's get into our weekly grab.
Grabbing it.
Okay, best friend, what's first on your list?
First on my list is a documentary series, I guess, but it's on our good Oprah Winfrey Network television, our own TV.
Yes.
It is Unlocked, Family Secrets.
Mm.
So they only have 3 episodes so far. And at first, you know, me being so pro-Black, like, why everybody gotta be Black? I also had to recognize, girl, it's Oprah's TV.
This is own.
Everything is Black. So the episode I want to highlight is the very first one. They get Miss Lydia and Miss Dennis on that TV from the first 5 seconds. I said, this man gay.
really? I didn't know at first.
I knew it. I felt it in my soul. I said, he gay. So basically, it's a new documentary series on OWN, and they just talk about different families and the secrets that they're holding. It's a wife and a husband. They meet, I believe, in LA or something, but they meet in the state. They fall in love. They start dating. very early in the relationship.
met, and it was like in the South, so
They
I think they
met,
were,
yeah, it was like in the 70s,
because then
80s.
they moved to
Yes,
California.
they moved to Oakland, then they moved to Atlanta. That's where they live now. But they didn't start in Cali. So I'm not sure where they met, but they met, they get married. He decides to go to seminary school, the husband, to be a preacher. Very early, before they even had kids, the preacher gets arrested for indecent exposure, for soliciting an undercover male cop in like a pornographic movie theater in the 70s and 80s. She ignores it. He tells his wife, "I'm going to Jesus." Whatever, they move across the country to Oakland. They move from Gay City One, Oakland, to Gay City Two, Atlanta. So it's like, but basically, you see the wife kind of navigate being in denial about, one, having her husband's back no matter what; two, being a preacher's wife; and three, not being honest that her husband is gay. Even when her son comes out as gay, she's still like, "No, my husband is a joke. It's not true. It's not real." And so to see her, one, navigate his relationship issues, navigate the just people in our community, in the Black and Brown community, they're so in denial when you're a part of the LGBTQ community. They want to blame everything. They want to kind of push you away, like they can pray it away, they can move it away. But it's like, why are you disowning who this is? He even bought his lover, who is now his husband, he begged the wife to hire him as a part of the church. And the wife still was like, "No, it's okay. It's nothing wrong." I think what made it such good TV was, one, I just want to encourage our community. I think it's different now. This is the 80s and 90s, so it's not right now. But she had a sexually transmitted disease. She caught gonorrhea from the husband. She still was in denial. Just don't be in denial. It's better to love people as they are than to kind of like navigate them to be something different. But it also is like a new version of documentaries. So everyone, you just don't know what's going to be revealed. But now, in present day, the pastor is no longer a pastor. He's married to the boyfriend. And now the ex-wife, she even wrote a book called The Gay Preacher's Wife.
I remember seeing that book. It
I
was,
feel like it was a
it's,
movie or something. I don't know.
no, it was a bestseller. It was just,
Yes.
it really, it, so I watched it and I was immediately captivated and pulled in. What stood out to me, because he had said something about her characteristics that stood out to him when they first met, was like she was just really loud. And it takes somebody that is loud to have gone through this experience and then now be willing to share it in a book and then on the documentary, like so openly, because she's just telling us, like, our sex was good. You know, we was
That's
having
all
good
she
sex.
kept saying. Like, he was still having sex with me, so I ignored everything, girl. Girl.
But it was good that she shared that, because it just lets you know that don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing, because just because your husband has this healthy sex appetite, it ain't really for you. He trying to compensate for some other things, but it ain't what it ain't. And then yeah, just her silence through it all. But she also opens up about that, where she talks about her father cheated on her mother, and her mother never said anything, and she ends up doing the same thing. So it's a lot. What I like about the show as it relates to the Black community, but this is also something every family of all backgrounds can relate to, especially when you have your older family members that they harbor these secrets, or they hold a lot of things in. They aren't from that generation of talking about things and getting clarity and healing, and just even sometimes dying with these secrets.
Listen.
And so each episode kind of goes through that, and so I think you can get a lot of healing from watching the show. I've only watched the first two episodes, but I'm into it. So yes, make sure to check out, what's it called?
Unlocked Family
Unlocked.
Secrets.
Yes, I was like, what? Crazy.
It was just a
Crazy.
good show. And just every see a different secret every episode. What's first on your weekly grab?
So first on my weekly grab is a film, a movie. It's not a film, it's a movie, an action comedy. I watched it on Amazon Prime. It's called Play Dirty, with Mark Wahlberg, Lakeith Stanfield, Keegan-Michael Key, who I love, he's just always
I
so funny.
love him.
He's so hilarious. So they are playing basically like a little crime syndicate. The intro, because at first, like I'm one that I'll give it the first like 10 to 15 minutes, and if it doesn't catch me, I'm like, okay, I'm not watching this. So the intro was kind of long, and I'm like, where is this going? And literally, it lasts 12 minutes. By that 12th, literally like that 11th minute, it just turns up, and you're like, whoa, whoa, what? I even got Mark to watch it because once I saw the intro, he was in another room. But then when I saw the intro, I'm like, oh no, we got to watch this together. So it's a really good film. Mark Wahlberg is playing like this badass con thief who is after this female con thief who tricked him and his crew in the beginning in that intro by basically doing a job with them, but then kind of betraying everybody and then running off with the money. And so he's trying to get vengeance for his crew that she destroyed. But then as he locates her, she ends up reeling him in into this even bigger job. And because he's so, into the life of crime, he gets into it. And so that's where he brings his people, Lakeith Stanfield, Keegan-Michael Key. And so they're working together on this huge job. I will say that the ending was a little weird because you're probably expecting them to
Don't
write off.
say it. Don't say
I'm
it.
not
I'm
gonna
a
say it, but it's
watcher.
like you're expecting them to kind of ride off into the sunset or whatever, but it still had a good ending that was fulfilling to the intro of the movie. You're seeing Lakeith and Mark Wahlberg work together. You're seeing Lakeith tap into his comedic side, which he did a bit of that on what's the show, Atlanta or
He's
Atlanta.
so funny. Yeah, he's so diverse.
He really has range, as well as of course Keegan-Michael Key. So there, it has a lot of comedic moments, a lot of death, a lot of stunt scenes. Like I said, the ending was bittersweet, but it was still a good movie. So if you're like me, I do love action films. They're always you. It's like to me, an action film, you can't go wrong. Especially typically for the most part, the ending always is like a happy ending in a way. So Play Dirty on Amazon Prime. Check it out. What is next on your weekly grab, best friend?
Next on my weekly grab is another one of my fall shows that is back for a new season. It is Amazing Race, that in another world I will go on, but also I know I could never do it. But never say never. I don't know what the universe has for me. This season is interesting though, because one, they're only doing Europe, so they're doing a European adventure. And two, all of the contestants are past Big Brother contestants. So it's like a CBS marriage episode. So everybody from Big Brother has bought on like their child, their brother, their partner, but everybody who is on this season of Amazing Race has been on Big Brother. What I love about the Amazing Race is just the competition aspect of it. Seeing people do different things and you seeing if you could do that. What I like about this, I'm not a super Big Brother fan, but I know some of these people, like I've seen clips. The past three out of four winners are people of color. So that's what actually now they just had another winner. She's five. But the past five winners have all been people of color. And it started back in, I think, 2020, 2021. They started something called the Cookout. And it was an alliance. Because before that, there had never been a person of color that won the Big Brother. So it's been white men or white women. The first one was a black guy named Xavier. Then you had a black woman named Taylor, who was the first black woman to win Big Brother. Then you had a Sikh guy named Jag who won. Then you had a black woman named Chelsea. Then you had another black person named Ashley. So I personally like the diversity that Black Brother, I mean Black Brother, Big Brother is bringing in. But Amazing Race makes it interesting because a lot of those beefs they bring to the show. This past episode, they had, oh, poor Matt and Megan. Matt is like this hippie white guy who made it to like the final three in Big Brother only because he was just there. He just coasted. He's like, I'm just there. And he thought that Amazing Race was Big Brother, him and his sweet wife. When I tell you, they were like, we're lost, but it's okay. Like, they were last in almost every challenge, every episode. It's only the first three episodes. They're like,
Just there for
it's okay.
the
I'm telling you. They were just like, it's okay. We're last. It
vibes.
doesn't matter. It's okay. We love each other. We're in love. We're newlyweds. So I thought that was really, really beautiful. They have Taylor on, who was, like I said, the first black woman to win Big Brother. She's dating another contestant from Big Brother who's on the season before her, but her ex-boyfriend Joseph is on the season with his actual brother. So seeing their dynamic is interesting. Like I said, I love Amazing Race. In another world, I will be a contestant on it, but I would have to learn how to swim good, learn how to drive a stick car, and learn how to like not be afraid of jumping off of 15-story buildings. But I like to watch. So it's a really good season. I can't wait to see how it unfolds with the alliances because a lot of contestants are saying this is not like in Big Brother, you need to kind of have alliances. Here it's important, but it's not what you thrive on. And Natalie, your sister Stephanie is fine as hell. So shout out to you, Natalie, but shout out to your sister Stephanie because she's fine. So I'm excited. It kind of gives me like a lighter watch because everything I watch is a documentary or something sad. So Amazing Race kind of like breaks that up. But it's a really
Yes.
good season and it's all Big Brother contestants. What is next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is Special Forces. What is this now? Season three?
Four.
Four? So this season we have Teresa and Gia Giudice, Chanel Iman. Right? I said that's the yeah, because Chanel, because it's like Iman, Chanel Ion, but Chanel Iman, Jussie Smollett, Johnny Manziel, Ravi Patel, the comedian, Eva Marcille, Nick Young. I know there's others, but those were the ones that, like, I just instantly recognized.
Look at you knowing names.
Yes, I recognized them. I didn't, well, Ravi Patel, I recognized his face, but just see, when I was writing this down, they had just wrote his name. So I was like, okay, Ravi Patel. But yeah, so, it's all these celebrities coming and basically just going to boot camp. The first challenge had them doing push-ups in the mud. Then they had to change it to the fatigues, just get naked in front of each other, then run a course. And then at that point, that's when Brittany Cartwright from Vanderpump Rules left after the first 15 hours. Didn't make it through a whole day, but I give her credit for at least making it for 15 hours. But it was just crazy because she had literally just said that Jax, her evil, abusive, toxic ex-husband, told her that she wouldn't make it.
Literally the interview, and I could tell that I could tell they filmed, but they do those interviews before because she's like, I'm gonna
Yes.
do it because he did, and then she just
Yes.
quit. And
And
I'm like,
she,
girl, if you don't
you didn't
run.
even make it, but now, she is sharing her mommy makeover journey. So she got a tummy tuck, lipo, like she did the
After the
whole
show,
after
recently.
the show. And I definitely think it was the show that was like the final nail in the coffin to make her be like, okay, I gotta, get back to myself, 'cause this was it. I mean, like I said, she made it. I don't know if I would have made it 15 hours,
Right,
but
girl, I'm not gonna, cause I ain't going in that show.
yeah. But then Teresa gets put on toilet duty, and she just gladly accepts the challenge. Like, she tells the group, like, "Hey guys, just let me know when you go poopy, and I'll go clean it up." I'm like, oh my gosh, Teresa is such a mom. That's why it's like I'm always gonna be Team Teresa. Because she just shows that she's humble. Now, granted, she did do time in prison, so I'm sure she already, that was her humbling life experience that would make her be open to cleaning other people's poo. But still, girl, you are still a celebrity. I know I wouldn't be willing to do that, but she did it gladly. Then, Eva almost died. It's
Oh, my
honestly.
poor Eva. My poor
And
Eva
then just even seeing
the
Jussie Smollett, because like we said a couple episodes ago, what happened to Jussie Smollett? And you're just seeing Jussie continue to try to rebuild after that hate crime hoax scandal in Chicago. So overall, I think it's a good cast. Even with Johnny Manziel, you're seeing them have these little therapy sessions with the head sergeant guy. And talk about their scandals and the things that kind of shamed them, but that brought them here to want to humble themselves. So with Johnny Manziel, he had a lot of scandal around his, I believe it was football career.
And I
But
didn't even know until he was on the show. I had to Google it.
So I like it. I watch it as I, kind of get time to come around. I watch so many stuff, so much stuff. So it's like with that, it's like, okay, I'm in the mood for it. You got to be in the mood for it. But good show, season four, Special Forces. Check it out on Hulu. And what is last on your weekly grab, best friend?
Okay, last on my weekly grab, we're going back to Oprah Winfrey's network television. Now, my best friend has spoken about this show, and I've never watched an episode until this week. And it is Bell Collective season 6. One thing about me is I'm not going to go back. I'm going to
Right. You're
watch
like,
it.
nope, I'm
I
just going
don't need it.
forward.
It's okay. It's okay. I get enough of it. Season 6. I watched the first two episodes and I know names and everything already. So I will be honest, the main reason I started watching it goes back into my other episode of the Weekly Grab. One of the new cast members, Carrie, she was on The Amazing Race with I think her cousin or her
Okay.
sister. They made it to like maybe top eight, but they didn't win. I remember the face, I remember her accent, and I remember how cute she was on the show. She annoys me now on Bell Collective. But I liked her on Amazing Race. So basically, where they leave off, Marie broke up with her ex-husband, but they're dating. They're not together. But she also has her little white sugar daddy that's from Germany that's been taking care of her. All the girls are in her business being hateratians because she got it like that. And I don't understand why everybody's in her business because she had a birthday party. The ex-husband said he wasn't gonna come because he wanted to surprise her. But when he said he wasn't gonna come, she invited her ting, and the ting came, and the ex-husband came, and all the girls was like, "Oh, she messy," and she's like, "Mind your business, mind your business." Latrice, girl, if you don't leave that man, Cliff, he reads cheater. He gives Kirk Frost. He gives. Whatever Jamal Bryant, like whatever man you think is cheating on his wife, they open up a new restaurant, and the first thing this man thinks is, let me open up condos above the restaurant and tell my wife I want to rent these out. Now, Latrice, my good, beautiful black sis, you gotta know that that man ain't up to no good because her hairstylist was telling her, like, you know, restaurants, especially when you're the owner and you could get the girls the free drinks and the free food and you could comp it, you're going right upstairs to do what you do with them. I just want Latrice to wake up. Latricia, I think that's her name. She got to wake up too because Glenn is back in people DMs. Now, I don't need to watch all five seasons to watch
Right.
clips and to see that
Right.
Glenn
And
ain't no
then,
good.
yeah, because they show the clips too. Because I never watched from season one, but I had tried, but I was like, you know what? I just did exactly what you did. Like, let me just start from where we at. And Carlos King always does a good job at giving you the throwback clips so you can kind of get burst into where this beef is generating from. But yeah, shout out to Carlos King, Bell Collective, and
Yes, it's a really good season. Like I said, you know, I've been sleeping on the show. It's really good. Selena, also, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just me. I just think all these men are trifling. Like, her man keep doing things and not telling her. How you buy a car and don't tell her? How you tell her you going to Texas the night before? Like, it's just like trifling dot trifling dot trifling. She's dealing with a lot of like loss and abandonment issues, grieving her, the loss of her son. And then Tambra, they haven't really showed, but I know she is a sore runner. I know she just had a baby after like a lot of loss. So I'm waiting for her story to develop. And then Kerry, like I said, the girl that the new member who's was on The Amazing Race, you coming in with a lot of space, like source of people that's not needed. But also, girl, you need some gel. You need some jam. Because every ponytail she got, it's just a little nappy. And I'm just like, girl, you know you on
Oh
TV. Can you please get some shine and jam?
no. It's
She went to Latricia's like brunch party and her and Marie was throwing shots and they talking about outfits because Marie had on like a silver dress and Carrie had on like a suit and they were just throwing like subtle shade, like you outdressed, you overdressed, you underdressed. But I just kept looking at that nappy ass ponytail.
bit. My
Like,
girl,
baby, you know
just brush it
Mississippi
out.
gonna have a beauty supply store.
This is season
Please.
six.
Hello, please get you some shine and jam because all
Yes.
I see is the edges and the back of that ponytail. All I wanted to do was just throw a brush and throw some gel. But shout out to you, Carlos King.
Yes.
We will post this because I think it's a good show. I feel bad for sleeping on it. I'm going to catch up. I'm going to watch it, but it looks good so far. And I'm like actually interested in it. You've been talking about it from season one. I'm going to
Well,
see.
I'm more of a Love and Huntsville.
Okay.
Love and Marriage Huntsville, but Bell Collective is his other show. on OWN that also does really well. I haven't gotten as into Bell Collective as I am into Love and Marriage Huntsville, but I think I might switch over to Bell Collective over Huntsville right now because Huntsville's just kind of simmering out. They
I
got it.
feel that. I really, to your point, when you said it a couple episodes ago, like the loss of Melody is a lot. And I feel like all they're talking about is Martell being ain't shit and the other husbands kind of not being ain't shit, but they can hide.
So they gonna need to do some casting, and I trust Carlos to do that. Just add some people to the cast that have their own stories, because that's what they need now. They need like new people with new stories that we can dig into. But all right, so last on my weekly grab, reality television is Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So as I told y'all last week, I'm caught up. I had skipped out on last season, but I'm back. So I am just loving the what I love about this season and even just this cast is it's like the shade is just a hot mess. 'Cause it's like, are you really telling me that I have 1.5 salons? It just doesn't make sense. So Lisa versus Angie K
And you know,
is
that's no shade. It's my favorite Housewives franchise. I never miss an episode.
I still prefer Miami over this, but yeah, they're second place. They're second after Miami. 'Cause like, but I could see why people would prefer Salt Lake over Miami because it is more comical than Miami is still, it's like to Miami, I think, is like good drama and not so manufactured, and this still gives you luxury and nice looks of the city. But Salt Lake City, it's like a playful drama because it ain't no real drama, you know? So it's like Lisa versus Angie K over just he said, she said things, petty stuff. But now they're both being petty about it because like Lisa was able to make amends with Bronwyn, but her and Angie is she still has it out for Angie because of whatever Angie has said.
Listen, Angie been trying to get that little snowflake for a minute. So even when she was a friend of, Angie was still bringing
So she
the
working hard to keep that snowflake. So just seeing Lisa be catty in public and like her little mean girl antics and saying that Angie K only owns 1.5 salons and then that her salon is dusty. And then she sent her a $600 Venmo and taking
Now
back her
that was shady
products.
as fuck.
It was shit.
That was shady.
And then, but instead of just giving it back, Angie K gives it back with like this mean note. And then goes and sits down with Meredith and then makes sure to tell Meredith information that Lisa has said behind her back. So it's just very high school. And I'm like, these are grown women here. This is we are talking about grown ass women, but that's again what makes this show good. So that stood out to me. So I'm really enjoying watching their little comical feud. And then Bronwyn sitting down with her mom about, you know, how she was treated during her pregnancy. That was just like it was a good scene to see. That's what makes Housewives, like these real moments. But I just get a sense like the mom is just not processing the trauma that she caused her child and the grandchild. Because at the end of the day, like she was pregnant with your grandchild. But it'll be, you know, I at least appreciate that she shared that. I mean, I don't see that. You know, it ain't gonna take an episode sit down for them to heal what they need to heal as mother and daughter. But it was also a good balance from the petty feud we was watching with Lisa and Angie K. But yeah, so shout out to Salt Lake City. I'm back. This new season is hilarious. But yes, so that is all on our weekly grab. With it being the month of Halloween. We are going to do an honorable mention of some Halloween-based stuff that we've been watching, whether it's horror, Halloween-themed, whatever. Best friend, what is some stuff? Because I know I got scary movies. Tanea will never watch a scary movie.
Absolutely not. I am allergic. I don't like to be scared for fun. Okay. Only thing I've been watching that is Halloween themed is It Cake Halloween? Okay. That's the closest you're going to get me to something horror. Shout out to Mikey Day. I love that show. I also love that when people come on, they talk a lot about their children. And so I love that this show is like one of the few shows, no matter how old or young you are, it is a generational kind of like bonding show. It's a really good show. I'm almost 98% right. I have a really good track record on Is It Cake Halloween? So that's the
Yes.
only thing I'm watching that's scary. What about you?
Well, I actually have been watching a lot of HBO and they have all the horror films. I have come to the realization that my favorite horror films, well, my favorite horror character is Freddy Krueger. The
Oh
reason I love Freddy
my
Krueger is because he's funny. He's creepy, he's scary, but he is funny. Like when he is like killing people or terrorizing them, the way he just be cursing at them, like he said,
God.
"I say whiskey, bitch." It's like,
Girl,
damn.
you gotta follow his fake person on TikTok.
Oh,
They
there's a
have like a
fake.
dancing, there's like a Freddy Krueger on TikTok. It's like a dancer, and like him and Jason be battling. I'm telling you, it's gonna make
Oh
it.
my gosh. And I, you know what, for my favorite thing during Halloween is black people in costumes, like seeing black people as Professor Snape and Harry Potter, or there's another black girl right now that's dressed up as the shrinking head in Beetlejuice. And it's just be hilarious because it's like black people are just comical. So I watched Freddy Krueger 3. I watched The Substance with Demi Moore. I remember, so our sorority, Janice, she was telling me to watch this like last year. And I knew I was like, I'll watch it once it comes on a streaming app. Like, I'm not gonna go, to the movies or go extra mile for it. So it's on HBO. Bessie, you gotta watch this movie. It's not scary. It is so creepy. It is gory. Like, you're gonna be like, ugh. But it's not, it's basically like she's a older fitness instructor, basically like who was that? Jenny Craig, not Jenny Craig, but you, whoever was cool. The one who's mad Republican now, but she was like the popular fitness.
Jillian Michaels?
Yes, there we go.
Okay. Not
So
Jenny
she,
Craig.
you,
You gotta call this episode Jenny Craig.
Jenny Craig. I mean, like, are we gonna call it Jenny Craig? I mean, Jillian Michaels. So basically it's Elizabeth Sparkle. That's Demi Moore. She is a fitness instructor, but she's old. She's a seasoned fitness instructor. So she has this agent who's very Hollywood, played by Dennis Quaid. I had to Google it. I was like, he looked like Dennis Quaid. It's Dennis
He got a lot of Botox, don't he?
Yes.
As you could tell, that face is too tight.
Yes. I was like, is this Dennis Quaid? But he plays like the super scummy Hollywood exec who is like basically telling Elizabeth Sparkle that she's old and played out and washed. She's depressed. She hates herself because, she's so Hollywood. She has a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame and she just feels like her star is fizzling. So she gets into a car act. Well, I don't want to tell the whole movie, sorry.
Okay, yes.
Anyways.
Don't tell me it because I'm gonna watch it. It's on
Okay,
HBO
so
Max.
anyways,
It's
basically
free.
she goes to the extent of getting like this serum to stay youthful, and it's crazy. Crazy. It is not scary. There's never a point where it's like scary. It's just, I would say the makeup, which I believe they might have won some awards for that. The makeup that they put Demi Moore in is phenomenal. So it's like you're just seeing her kind of deteriorate throughout the movie, and that's the only thing that could freak you out. But it's not a jump scare. It's more like, oh my God. But then you're like looking like, damn, is that it? Because then you're thinking like, is that Demi Moore? But it is Demi Moore. Like Demi Moore acted her ass off, reminded y'all she ain't never lost it.
That's why she won that award. She won a Golden Globe for her
Oh,
award. It
yo,
was like
she
she
did.
was nominated for an Oscar. She did like get a lot of accolades for that. So I'm
Yes.
gonna watch it now that it's on streaming.
She did her thing. So that movie, and then the last one is Edward Scissorhands. That's just an honorable mention because that's my all-time favorite movie. Like Edward Scissorhands, Crybaby. I'm a Johnny Depp fan. Edward Scissorhands isn't really a horror. It's just Tim Burton being Tim Burton in his element. This is that to me. I would say Edward Scissorhands is like his best film in my opinion. But also, I know of course there's a Nightmare Before Christmas, which is also like second place. But to me, Edward Scissorhands is.
It is Willy Wonka.
No. That
Love the remake with Johnny.
is my least favorite. That shit is scary. Like that shit is scary.
I love it. It's my favorite.
That's what you should watch for Halloween. That one right there. Lord Jesus. But anyways, y'all, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. So that was our weekly
Fine.
grab. That was our little horror watches. So now we got to do some dragging. I do think Tanea got started a little early by dragging that lady's ponytail on Bell
Now
Collective.
you know you need some jam. You know you need some jam, Kerry.
But let's officially drag who we dragging this week as part of our piss poor performance. Okay, best friend, who are you pissing on today?
You know what? I'm pissing on the people who specifically write for Grey's Anatomy for Amelia Shepherd. And let me tell you why. They just had the season 22 premiere. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. You ain't watching Grey's Anatomy. They
No.
killed Monica Beltran, who was Amelia's new love interest. And this mother lover can't catch a break. Amelia Shepherd, she came on the show as Derek Shepherd's sister, who was Meredith Grey's dead husband. I also watch, I'm in Shondaland, like Grey's Anatomy universe. I've watched all Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice. She is a neurosurgeon. This woman has lost so much. Best friend, she gave birth to a baby with no brain or eyes. She done gave
Only
birth
laughing
to
because
a
you were
baby.
so into the show.
Because how y'all gonna let her be a crackhead? Then she gonna give birth to a baby with no eyes and brains. She already lost her father when she was like four. That was her whole life story. Then she becomes a surgeon. She gets close to her brother. He dies. She gets a husband. He's on drugs. They get her off drugs. She has a baby. That baby ain't got no brain or eyes. Then she moves to damn Seattle to go back to Grey's Anatomy. Every man she marry, it don't work. Or she don't want to be married, or she don't find love. She start finally exploring her sexuality with one of the characters from last 2 seasons ago. They get rid of that character. She finds a new person because she's bisexual. She's kind of very fluid. She dates who she dates. They find somebody. We see them hitting it off. They kill a lady. Can Amelia get something? Can she
Right.
stop struggling? All she got is that damn
Like
son
what?
Scout. And then
Like
y'all almost
yeah.
killed the damn daddy to her only child. I just feel like whoever is writing the Amelia Shepherd storyline, can my girl get some love? Can
Like,
she
can she
just
catch a
live
break?
happily ever after? Like
Right.
every time she get close to love, somebody gotta die. They give her a baby with no eyes and no brain. Can y'all
It's like,
stop?
come on. Come
What?
on.
Amelia didn't do nothing to y'all. She done lost
Right.
her brother, her daddy, all the people she done dated. Now her baby daddy, because she does have a kid with a guy that asked her to marry her. Then she had too much trauma to be married because the last guy she was married to was a crackhead or some a drug addict. And it's just like, Grey's Anatomy writers, can we do better by Amelia? Like, Amelia
Please.
Shepherd deserves the world. And y'all are not doing her justice. They killed the wrong person. Y'all need to kill off Owen or Teddy. No shade, but I'm tired of both of them. Kill them, break a leg, or break them up. But I just want justice for Amelia Shepherd. Amelia, if you listen to this, just know I'm rooting for you. Yeah, you're fictional, but I'm still rooting for you. And Grace Sloan. And I really want to go to Seattle just to act like I'm in Grace Sloan. It's a fictional hospital, but I am just pissing on those writers because y'all, there's no way in hell one person has been through so much trauma in one show
Right.
in 22 seasons. So
Right.
justice for Amelia Shepherd. Who are you pissing on?
Okay. My piss poor is going to two figures on the Real Housewives of Miami. I'm spinning the block on Julia because, girl, I already gave you a piss poor, but I'm coming back for that. More piss. More piss.
Ooh, did you
Because,
see that
like,
Martina apparently is looking for divorce lawyers?
I heard that rumor, but it's just like, it's the fact that she literally is a professional victim. And it took us this long to see it. She can take accountability, but in a way that is still making herself the victim. Like, please forgive me, Gary. What do we need to do?
I didn't
And
know.
then coming out saying what she said about Adriana, only for Adriana to unload the clip on her ass. Like, girl, you a serial cheater. You was cheating with the Haitian mortician. You got another dude too. God bought him a coffee maker. And you could tell that Julia was expecting to get one up on Adriana by telling everyone that they slept together. Only for Adriana to now reveal, girl, you slept with everybody. Tell everybody you slept with. And then Julia again starts to act like the victim. And then so you could see that Gertie and Lisa are over it because Gertie is just like, oh my gosh, she's always the victim. Like, yo, it's crazy because she really is. And it just took us this long to to see it. So I was already thinking that this was going to be her last season, but just from seeing how this reunion went, I do see them bringing her back, because now it's like we got to see, like, okay, is Martina about to divorce that ass? Because ain't no way. I feel like this is like totally putting a stain on Martina's tennis legacy. Like, she really is that girl in tennis world. So,
And she didn't ask for this. She didn't ask
right,
for
she was
this.
just trying to support her wife, but it really, to me, is coming off like Julia is with Martina for security, because
And I don't
clearly.
even know if she really likes the Nana or if it's
Right,
just
you out here
convenient for
still.
her.
I mean, to me, I do. She to me, I really get the sense that she is, you know, she's fluid. I can't necessarily, but it's like, yeah, if you still kind of going and creeping with men behind your wife's back, I don't know, is it if that you really want to be with men, but it is that you're not fulfilled sexually with just a woman. So it is.
And if the thing is, if you're gonna be married, be married. Like, you need to be honest. I don't like that. I don't like the dishonesty that she's carrying on, that you can
Right.
fully see. Like, she's not being herself. Like, Martina should know, like, I do this. So I just don't
She's
like
claimed
that.
that she know, but it just seemed a little funny. And then the second person on Roma I'm giving a piss poor is Takiki's father, because we had saw the their story. You know, she told more about their story during the season, that he kicked her out when she was 16 and he was with his new wife at the time. And, you know, it was so traumatic for her. She's always kind of talked about, cried about that on the show over the seasons of being out on her own since she was 16. So you see her confront her father about that during this season, and he's very unapologetic about it. He's very like, this is just the way it is in our culture. But then now at the reunion, she tells us how, well, Andy asks her about, you know, when she found out that she had a little brother on camera. And she said, yeah, I found out I have a sister too. And, you know, he expects me to take care of them. And so that's why he's getting my piss poor. Because ain't no way you're gonna bring your crusty ass on this show to get confronted about kicking your daughter out at 16, not apologize about it. And then now you're expecting her to keep taking care of all these babies you're making with random women. No, she better than me. She better than me. Cause ain't no, no. No. So piss poor on Kiki's daddy and piss poor on Julia. Okay. So now let's actually be nice. As part of our yes, girl segment. Who are you giving your yes to? Best friend.
Well, you kind of spoke about it earlier, but I want to give my yes to two people in particular. It is Miss Gia Giudice and Jussie Smollett from Special Forces. Gia, for one, I don't think I've ever thought about what it would be like if I was 13 and both of my parents not only were in jail, but everybody knew they were in jail in the whole entire universe. Because she was the first white housewife arrested, let's be real. Before Cameron, before Jen, before, ooh, Wendy now, it was Teresa. Teresa was the first housewife that did some time. And so to be the oldest daughter syndrome and how it hits you as an old, but to be publicly, my heart just like hurt. Like I just have a different kind of outlook on her and who she is as a person and her kind of like her drive in life is like, I have to take care of everybody. I have to be there for everybody. And seeing her kind of push through when her mom left and understanding why Teresa left, ain't no way you're gonna hit my daughter in front of
Right,
me,
no.
and I can't just do it 1-2 her. And also Jussie, because also to your point, you mentioned it earlier, I didn't watch the documentary yet, I probably will now, but imagine what it's like to try to keep proving yourself. And his big sister, big journey, not the little, was like, you don't have to prove anything. And he's like, yes I do. And to always feel like he did the interview with them, and then that's the first thing that they Google, and he just kind of closed down, and he didn't want to leave. He got medically DQ'd. If they do a season 5, I see Jussie coming back. I bless him coming back. And so I just want to give him my yes to say to his sister's point. Actually, I don't know if you heard his album. It's actually really good. I listened to it. He has an R&B album that just came
Interesting.
out. It's really good. It has really good rhythm, but I just like this show because it made me see these two people in a different light. I'm
Yeah.
rooting for y'all to one, have your own identity outside of what you've gone through and to just keep pushing on. So,
Yeah.
Gia and Jussie get my yes of the week. Who are you rooting for?
My yes is going to CT. I gave him my piss poor, I believe, on our season
You
premiere,
did. You
just because I
did.
just was so disappointed in what he was showing in this season of Vets versus New Threats. But in a way, he redeems himself. At the end of the day, he did finally get sent home. He got eliminated by Theo, but
Oh, that's interesting.
He put up a decent fight because there was one challenge where everybody, after what the situation that happened that I put him as my piss poor, the house was against him. So at during the next challenge, everybody knew that they were going to vote him into elimination. So he went into elimination and he won. I can't remember who he sent home that time, but from there it was like he just kind of kept showing up each challenge, even though he just wasn't performing the way we know him to perform because of his weight gain. So ultimately he goes back into elimination and he gets sent home by Theo, but TJ says to him, like, I know you're gonna come back stronger than ever, and he's like, yeah. And that's where, I'm rooting for CT because we all know CT is the GOAT at the end of the day.
Yeah, he's been working out a lot. I don't know if you've seen it, but he posted recently. He lost a lot of weight.
And it was
He's
because of the
focused.
show. It was like this was the worst that we've seen him. And the fact that he wouldn't climb up that ladder in that challenge that ended up sending the other girl home, I think that was probably one of his lowest moments. Like, he talked about the trauma he had from falling off the ladder years before and having to go to the ER. I would think that this is probably more traumatic to him when it's like the whole house is against you because you didn't even try. And that is not the CT that we know. It's such a stain on his legacy, but it's now going to take him redeeming himself, coming back and reminding us of why he's CT. So, and I know he will, and that's why we love CT. So I'm rooting for CT to come back. And like you say, he's already working out, so he's already on it. He'll be back next season. And I'm looking forward to, I'll be watching for sure. I will be watching because it's like I want to see the CT that we all know and love. And then what is good about CT now is like he's older. Like, yeah, he's pushing 50. And so you don't need to like look at Mark on All Stars. We don't like Mark is older than CT. He's not out here looking like, oh, like granted, your body isn't the same as when you were in your 20s, but that doesn't mean you let yourself go and then now use that as an excuse. So I know that CT is going to redeem himself. So shout out to CT. We love you. He's the true
We
GOAT.
love you, CT, forever and a day. You could take over the hosting duties when TJ retire.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So like we said, rate and review, like and subscribe, follow us on social media. We watch too much TV. And so that was our show, and we'd like to close it out with just some positivity. What's your positive affirmation mantra quote, best friend?
The way we think of ourselves has everything to do with how the world sees us and how we see ourselves successfully acknowledged by the world. By Arlene Rankin.
Shout out to Arlene Rankin.
Whoever she is, we like you.
Mine is about friendship. It is, let us be grateful to people who make us happy. They are the charming gardeners who make our souls blossom, by Marcel Proust. So it's all about your friends and
What
make
about your friend?
friends. Make time for your friends because they keep you fulfilled. All right,
Ooh.
and on that note, y'all, we will be back next week. Our
Yes,
closing
love.
slogan is,
Love, a bunch of abundance, and some really good hair bundles.
tis the season to be bundled.
Ba la la
Bye.
la la. Oh, Christmas not here yet. Okay, Thanksgiving. Whoa, I mean, not Thanksgiving, Halloween. Sorry. I'm sorry, girl. I'm
It don't matter. I saw a Christmas
sorry.
commercial today. I saw a Christmas commercial today. It's the season.
Yes.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.